What's up, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because your best business education isn't going to come from a university. In this special bonus episode of the Side Hustle Show, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite business educators, and that's Omar Zenholm. Since 2014, Omar has been hosting the $100 MBA show, which you can find at 100mba.net and in your podcast app of choice. Omar specializes in these bite-sized 10-minute business lessons for the real world, and there are now over 1,700 of those lessons to choose from. I've selected a couple of my recent favorites to play for you today. Number one, on why live courses are so hot right now, and number two, on the perfect first business. Can you guess what it is? Stay tuned to find out, and if you like Omar's style, make sure to subscribe to the $100 MBA show. Cheers.
Welcome to the $100 MBA show, business advice you can count on every single day with our daily 10-minute business lessons for the real world. I'm your host, your coach, your teacher, Omar Zenholm. I'm also the co-founder of Webinar Ninja, an independent software company I started with my partner back in April 2014. And in today's lesson, you will learn why live courses are so hot right now. In the last 12 months, online live courses have gained a lot of traction and popularity. Why? Well, that's what we get into in today's lesson. What are the advantages of running a live course versus one that's recorded, where people can watch the recording at their own time? Are they more profitable? Will they help your business in the long run? Can you scale it? One of the reasons why people don't do live is because they feel like a recorded course is easy to scale. And the results that I've found with my own experimentation, as well as speaking to other online course builders. So let's get into it. Let's get down to business. I want to start today's episode with a stat. It's pretty staggering. There was a study done by Katie Jordan from the Massive Open Online Courses, an organization that studies the results of, you guessed it, online courses. We're talking about private courses, courses that are part of some sort of platform like Udemy, coaches that offer courses, the whole gamut. And they found that students of a paid course, a course they actually paid money for, had trouble completing the course. In fact, only 15% of all paying customers, all paying students, completed the course on average. It's even lower if the course was free. It can be as low as 5% if the course was free. And a lot of us offer online courses or short courses as opt-ins. So you might be thinking, Omar, what's the big deal? As long as these courses sell, we're good to go. No, that is a big problem. When your students don't complete your course, they don't get the result that they were intending. You need your students to get results for several reasons. Number one, it's hard for you to say that your course delivers on its promise if you don't have enough people getting that. They don't get that actual result. Number two, there's a big difference between somebody getting that result and not getting the result. Regardless if it's your fault or not, whether they just forgot about it or got lazy, it could be totally not your fault. It's irrelevant. When your student doesn't get the result, they're not going to feel so great about the purchase. They'll have buyer's remorse. Third, you need success stories. You need people that actually have said, hey, I've done this course, I completed it, this is the result, this is amazing. The more of these, the easier it is for you to sell the course in the future. In fact, your product sells itself through these customer stories. So recently, there's been a wave in live online courses, courses that people attend live. It's a live video broadcast. And I started to research this about a year ago. I had breakfast with a fellow entrepreneur, Brian Harris from Growth Tools, and he was running live courses. And I asked him, why are you doing live and not recorded so people can just watch whenever they want? He said, well, we found that our completion rates are as high as 95% when it's live. When people pay money and they have to watch it live to get the benefit, they're going to show up just like they would normally show up to maybe a course they took in a community college. The other thing that Brian did is that he didn't offer a replay. He said, you're going to show up, you're going to learn, you're going to take notes, you're going to implement. There's no reason for the replay. The replay is encouraging people not to show up and not to complete the course. It was a very big, bold move, but it worked for him. And he would get success story after success story, and it really snowballed and allowed him to get some real traction with his courses. So I asked him, what about profitability? Well, he says, given the fact that it's a live course and I go back and forth with them, people ask questions, we even put people on hot seats and they get on camera, the value of this live course is way higher versus a recorded course. So therefore, I can charge more. A recorded course, I could probably charge about $97 for the same type of material or result. When I moved it to live, he charges $500 a person. Now, you might be thinking, Omar, this sounds great, awesome, but how do you scale this? This is one of the challenges a lot of people think about online courses, that, hey, with a recorded course, I can scale it. People can buy it anytime they want. They can attend anytime they want, and it kind of sells itself. That's just not true. A lot of people know that if they've sold courses online. That's why people do open and closed launches, so they can fill as many people as possible so that they have an enrollment date, so people feel the urgency to sign up. So online courses don't sell themselves just by being there. Now, you can scale a live course. You can do in the form of a webinar. And we talk about this at Webinar Ninja, our webinar software, where they run a series webinar is what we call it. And they offer different sessions. You can even make it paid with our Stripe integration. Shameless plug. But the point I'm making here is this is not one-on-one. You can have a classroom of people, 30, 40, 50 people, and it still can be productive, and you can still bring people on camera. And because you're charging more, you can make more and therefore don't need to have, you know, thousands of students every month. Now, I've been running some small experiments with these online courses. I actually first ran a one-time session, two-hour session on how to start a podcast. I charged for it. It was a live training session, and it went really well. The feedback was fantastic. People actually implemented what I taught, and there was a lot of interaction, and it was probably, in terms of content versus result, a great ratio. They got plenty of content, but they also got the result of starting their podcast. Because they felt, hey, I'm on this live call now, in this live class, I got to get the most of it. I've now transitioned into a three-day challenge. This has become very popular in the last 6 months or so, people running their online challenges, but live. So it's 3 one-hour sessions, and I do this as a way to bring in customers. So I actually run a three-day challenge on how to build your own marketing and sales funnel. If you're a coach or a trainer, or you're teaching online, or you sell courses, and I walk people through in the 3 days how to build that. Now, I don't charge a lot for this. I actually charge $37 for this three-day course, three-session course. Now, the reason why is, one, I'm doing this so I can get qualified leads, so I can get people that actually are interested in my product, Webinar Ninja. Number two, I need them to put skin in the game. They have to put some money down so they can actually feel committed and they show up and they participate. That's really why I'm charging $37. And three, full transparency, it allows me to cover my advertising cost of bringing in that lead. After the three-day course and its full value, I spend about 10 minutes giving them an offer, my product, my service, so they can implement what I just taught in the 3 days with far greater ease with my software. And I'm running these three-day challenges every single month. I just fill up the challenge, we run it, and then we run another one the following month. Now, yes, you're not going to cover every time zone in the world, but that's okay. You can rotate. You can change the time to suit different time zones the next time you run your next live course. Now, some things that surprised me when doing these live courses is, one, the interactivity. There's so much interactivity on these courses. It blows away anything I've done that's not live. People asking questions, people commenting, people cheering people on. It's just like this compact time of interaction that creates a sense of energy, and it really pushes the students to accomplish their goals. Number two, many of the questions that people ask, a lot of people have the same questions in their head. So by me answering questions live and everybody hearing that answer live, they really get a lot out of it. Three, when I bring them on camera, it gives me a chance to really focus on their business, their problem. They can share screen. We can look at their copy. It becomes a hybrid coaching slash online course, which is really, really cool. And your students get a lot of value out of that, something they just can't get when it comes to a recorded course. Guys, to wrap up today's lesson, I highly encourage you to get started with experimenting with live courses. If you're a course creator, if you're a coach, a trainer, this is a great way for you to scale your knowledge. My advice is to start with one masterclass, a two-hour masterclass. You can charge like $100 for it. That was the price point I started with. It was a good sweet spot. I included a workbook with it. And it's basically group coaching. It gives them a chance to ask questions, get specific information that they need for their business, for their life. And you get a ton of materials for testimonials and case studies for your website. There's also a huge hidden benefit that I haven't talked about is that you learn so much about your customers. When you interact with them live, one-on-one, you learn so much about the problems they're facing, the issues they have, and you're able to start thinking about how you can resolve those issues with future products and offerings. You just don't get that type of information, that type of intel with a recorded course. Thanks so much for listening to the $100 MBA Show. If you love what you hear, hit subscribe so you don't miss a beat. By hitting subscribe, you get our next episode automatically, and it's absolutely free to subscribe. So go ahead and do that on your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio or Spotify or Himalaya. We're on every single one of them, so just go ahead and smash that subscribe button. Before I go, I want to leave you with this. With a live course, you need to give a little bit more of a heads up in terms of when you are doing this course to your email list, to your audience. I recommend about 3 weeks at least because they have to show up on that date and time. It's like planning a trip, right? So it's a lot easier for people to register and attend for something that that is recorded or something they can watch a replay for. But if it's live and they have to be there, give them as much heads up as possible so they can put it in their calendar. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you then. Take care. Welcome to the $100 MBA Show, your personal business boot camp every single day with our daily 10-minute business lessons for the real world. I'm your host, your coach, your teacher, Omar Zenholm. I'm also the co-founder of Webinar Ninja, an independent software company I started with my partner back in 2014. And in today's lesson, you will learn what is the perfect first business for you to start. If you are looking to get into entrepreneurship, you're trying to figure out which business model is a good first business, whether you want to start it as a side hustle while you're working or you're going to go all in full time. Not all businesses are created equal. Some businesses have a much higher threshold for risk, require a lot of capital to get started, require a lot of manpower. But in today's lesson, we're going to take a stroll down easy street. I'm going to describe to you a good first business to start. This is a very viable option for you. I'll be sharing from my own experiences how this type of business is easy to start, inexpensive to fund, and low risk to scale. So let's get into it. Let's get down to business. Starting your first business can be scary, intimidating, nerve-wracking, and frankly, just risky. There's so much you don't know yet because you just don't have the experience under your belt. So it's really important for you to mitigate that risk. Too many first-time entrepreneurs shoot for the stars. They start like a software company that requires a lot of talent, a lot of engineers, a lot of funding. Or they get into e-commerce and they want to sell physical goods and items in their e-commerce store, which requires inventory, storage, tons of technology, and a lot of customer headaches. How do I know this? Well, I have a software company, Webinar Ninja, as I mentioned before. I had an e-commerce store. I was in retail. I had my own clothing line over a decade ago. But I also had another type of business that really allowed me to build my other businesses. And that's a service-based business. A service-based business is any kind of business that offers a service, advice, expertise to customers. Let me give you an example of a service-based business. And we'll run with this example throughout the lesson because it's an actual real example that I did. This is actually a business I ran. I had a business called Business Republic, and it was a service business. It was a consulting firm. And I helped small businesses build and launch new websites and blogs. Now, the great thing about a service-based business is that you don't need to be the expert. But of course, if you choose a service that you are good at, let's say, for example, you are a web developer, then you can actually start with your own time and talent. But it's not required. I started because I knew how to create websites using WordPress, and I got my first few clients using my own time and skill. But after time, I needed to scale. I couldn't just do all the work myself, and I actually found out that it actually makes more business sense for me not to do the work. If I were to do this business all over again, I would do just that. I would not be doing any of the actual skilled labor. So how does this work? Well, let's say, for example, you are charging $2,000 for somebody to create you a brand new blog, a brand new website. This is very inexpensive, but let's just say this is where you're starting. All you need to do to make a profit is to actually get it done for less. This means you can hire on Upwork, for example, people that can do this job, that can create websites in this example for you. And you just be the facilitator. You pass on the work to them. Now, professionals that know what they're doing can create these things quite quickly if they're given the right information. That's where your job comes in, is gathering the information from the customer. What are their needs? What are their wants? What's their business like? Grabbing their logo, grabbing their images, getting the copy. So that way you can then give it to the developer and they can load it all up and create that website. You can easily find really talented website developers in this example for like $500 a website, and you can easily charge $2,000 or more. When I was outsourcing it, I was charging around $5,000 a website. I had a full-time freelance contractor who agreed that he's going to do each website for $500, and I gave him plenty of work, and he was working on 3 to 4 websites at a time. Yes, I made a 10x profit on each project. Now, what's great about having a service-based business is that you can scale this thing in your own time, in your own speed, meaning that if you don't have that many clients, that's okay. You're still making a profit because you're charging somebody else to do the work per project, per client, and you're making a profit on each transaction. And as you get more clients and grow, you will continue to make more profit and it becomes even more profitable. And all you have to do is be the person that markets, that sells, that takes care of the customer. The actual work, the service, can be outsourced to somebody else. And guess what? You can do this with upsells and sister offerings. I used to do that with logos, with business cards. I used to get other people to design them for me. They're part of my team. And I would even like kind of approve the designs before I'd give it to the actual customer. And again, make a profit on each add-on and each new service. This requires zero overhead from you. All you really need is a website for you to be able to bring customers into your business. You only have to pay for somebody to do the work when you have a customer. There's no inventory to keep. There's no software to build or to maintain by developers. And you're dealing with higher price points, meaning thousands of dollars per project, rather than customers spending $20, $30, $40, $50 on smaller items like e-commerce, and dealing with hundreds of customers that complain, that want refunds, that have other issues. You have less clients and you're making just as much money, if not more, as you're scaling. This is a really good business to start with. Why? Because it makes you learn a lot of basic skills you need to succeed in any other business. One, building the right team, hiring people, and you could do it very low risk because these are freelancers, these are consultants that are working with you. But you learn the hard way, you know, you learn through trial and error who's a good person to work with and who's not, with very low commitment. Okay, so you learn how to build a team, you learn how to manage people, you learn how to manage your own time, you learn how to brand yourself and market yourself so you can attract the right customers. Learn customer service because you're dealing with customers one-on-one. They're less customers, they're higher paying because, you know, their average price point is a little higher than, you know, smaller units. But you learn slowly through the conversations you have with customers, how to deal with customers and deal with them in a way they feel taken care of. You learn how to be profitable from day one, that you don't spend money that you can't make. Hence, only hiring somebody to do the work when you have the customer. This keeps you in the black and makes sure that you are running a profitable business and you grow at your own pace. Now, in my experience, when I did my service-based business, it allowed me to scale, allowed me to grow, allowed me to make more money, to build my own products on the side, my own services, my own courses, my own communities. And I eventually stopped doing the service-based business to focus all my attention on the $100 MBA, but I would not be here without that business. It gave me some really good runway. It gave me the cash I needed. It kept me alive. It allowed me to survive and learn entrepreneurship in the process. To wrap up today's lesson, a service-based business, whether you do the service yourself or, again, as I recommend, finding freelancers to do that expertise for you, it's a great business to start with. You can easily scale. And what's awesome about it is once you get your first few customers, they give you testimonials, they give you referrals. You can even give your customers that just completed a project with you some sort of gift certificate or discount for their next project if they give you a referral. This is what I did, and I was able to get my next customers easily. And before you know it, about 6 months to a year into it, I had more customers than I can handle. No office, no full-time staff, no overhead. It's actually quite a simple business model that works. Thank you so much for listening to the $100 MBA Show. If you thought today's episode was a good one, share it with your friends and family on social. Let them know the name of the episode and share the link to it on your favorite platform, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever you like. Before I go, I want to leave you with this. What I love about a service-based business is that it keeps things simple. There's not too many balls in the air. There's not too many things to keep track of. There's work that needs to be accomplished. Somebody does the work. You pay for the work. The customer pays you. Very, very simple. It's one of the oldest models in the book. And the reason why it's one of the oldest models is because it's been working for years, for decades, for centuries. Just walk down your neighborhood and you'll see that most of the shops around you is basically this model. Even if they're selling a physical product like a cafe, for example, most of them don't bake their own muffins. They get it from a local bakery. They don't make their own beans. They actually get those beans delivered. They grind them and then they brew them. All the soft drinks and iced teas in the fridge, they didn't create them in their home. No, they bought them from somewhere. And they, again, they sell it for a price where they make a profit. You're doing the same thing, but with a service. Find a niche, a service where you can serve. Whether it's your area of expertise, your experience, something where you have some insights that you can add even if you're actually not doing the work. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you then. Take care.
Hey, Nick here again. Hope you enjoyed this special bonus episode with Omar Zenholm from the award-winning $100 MBA Show and 100MBA.net. Like I mentioned, there are hundreds more lessons like these in the $100 MBA archive. So go check them out in your favorite podcast app and binge away. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.